following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. It's right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above the soon-to-be-opening Daniela's Restaurante, right above our office. There's a new awning up. They're building out a new three-season area out in the front of the place. It's coming along great, and I can't wait for it to open, according to Dan Mamola. He's hoping for sometime in October, but we'll keep our fingers crossed. You know, you never know what'll happen, but I know it's going to be great, and they'll be serving lunch and dinner at Daniela's. I'm sure I'll be spending a lot of time there. But we are operating from the office at Friedman Financial on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays right now, working from home Mondays and Fridays, trying to do the best as we manage through this pandemic that is certainly taking longer than I think any of us ever imagined. But nevertheless, we're still doing our very best to manage through it and manage it appropriately. And we're doing a good job here in Massachusetts. I know the kids are starting to get back to school this week and next. Hopefully they will manage it as safely as possible. I'm counting on everyone to do their part because we want our teachers and our students and everybody else that works at the schools to be safe and to have a safe and solid experience. It's not easy, certainly not easy, but we will get through this. I know we will. Cooler weather is coming too, isn't it? I woke up, I think it was Wednesday morning, there was fog in the air, and you'd go outside, there's a little bit of a briskness to the day. The evenings are getting a little cooler. It's not quite being as warm as it used to be, and fall is coming, folks. I actually started to see some leaves changing on the trees, which is a sign that it's coming. The summer is over. So anyways, we are here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m., providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. It's been quite an interesting week this past week. The market had three significant down days, you know, leading in from the weekend before, certainly impacted by the tech stocks that are out there. Look, the technology markets have done so well, far beyond what we possibly could have imagined. I mean, think about it. When you're at home, how are you doing your shopping? How are you gaining access to anything? We're relying on technology. And as those stocks have started to head north, there's a lot of people that jump on that bandwagon and add additional momentum to the fuel of the stock prices. And I think we will all agree that the prices of many of these stocks have become significantly overinflated. And there's been some just irrationality as to why some of these stock prices would go up. We've seen a significant pullback. And then again on, I think it was Wednesday, we saw the market come back. And it's been wobbling back and forth and back and forth. But one of the things that I thought was interesting to share with all of you is for the past couple of years now, since we've started on the radio, we've talked about the importance of asset allocation, meaning you want to put your money in a variety of different types of investments that perform differently. But there's been this conversation of growth versus value. And we talk about the types of investments that you want to consider in your portfolio, especially if you're looking to invest in the stock market. And we're not suggesting. I'm certainly not suggesting that you go out and buy individual stocks. That's never been the position at Friedman Financial. It's never been the philosophy that I've used in 29 years in this business. We encourage people to support the investments of what are called package products or mutual funds. That those are collections of investments that have several stocks in it, several bonds in it, several types of securities in it, so that you can get professional management, you can get diversification, you can get liquidity, and it works so much easier that way. But many people will encourage you, and we do too, to look at growth funds and value funds. So let's talk a little bit about the difference between the two. A value fund generally is an investment that has a collection of stocks in it that buys companies that, well, of course, are continued to be of value. But let me try to define that a little bit better. Every company that trades on the New York Stock Exchange has an expectation or a hope that they will be profitable. Look, you don't go into business with the hope of wanting to lose money. But a value company generally wants to take the profits that they make and send parts of it, and sometimes a large part of it, back to shareholders in the form of a dividend. Many people enjoy getting those dividends. You oftentimes see those coming from energy companies, big construction companies, from banking institutions, from oil companies. That's where you're going to see your dividends. The telephone company, remember, AT&T and Verizon and all of those, they all used to pay a dividend. Some of them still do pay a dividend. So people would say, I want the dividend. It gives me this sense of security. Now, remember, a value company generally isn't taking their money and trying to become new and invigorating and something different. I mean, how difficult is it to, I mean, how many changes do you need to make to a tractor? Right? I mean, if you're Caterpillar, I mean, a bulldozer bulldozes, it just pushes stuff and moves stuff. I mean, how much ingenuity after you've developed the product do you really need to make it new and improved? It's not like investing in something like Google or a technology company where you need to be changing daily to be relevant. That's what a growth company does. A growth company wants to take their profits and instead of turning it over in the form of a dividend to shareholders, they want to take their profits and reinvest it back into the company to develop new and improved products, to expand their offerings, to upgrade things that they do, to make business a little bit easier for you. So it's important that we have both value and growth. And when markets are uncertain, a lot of people will say, well, geez, I really want to go the safe route. Well, there's no such thing as a safe investment, really. But some folks believe that a dividend-paying portfolio may be a little bit more comfortable and easier thing to manage than is a growth portfolio. It all depends on the situation. But here's the truth, is that when growth does really well, when we need technology to support a lot of what we're doing, growth stocks are going to perform better than value stocks. And so there's been this desire over the past couple of years for investors to start to say, maybe I don't need this value investing anymore. Maybe I just move it all towards stock-based investing. I mean, towards growth-based investing. And slowly we're starting to see people migrate out of value investing and into growth investing. And we've been warning folks that this is problematic because growth overdoes it and value overdoes it sometimes. But right now, value has been the underperformer, not a bad performer, but an underperformer. But when we get greedy, when we see the stock market moving forward, we say, why would I want to hold on to something that isn't doing so well? Why don't I chase the tail of these investments that are moving so quickly? Well, some lessons were learned this week. Some lessons were learned because the Friday prior to Labor Day, then Tuesday and Wednesday, those growth stocks, those stocks that were leading, sometimes we call them the FANG stocks, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, those and others, Tesla, some of the big names that were out there, they got creamed over the past 3 or 4 days. They lost, in some cases, 10, 20, 30% of their investments in just a very quick period of time. That can happen in a growth stock. And it made people nervous. And when people started to see those stocks dropping, the stock market started to accelerate downwards, or decelerate, I guess would be the better word there. People got worried. People got nervous. But the smart investor knows that we have to have a little bit of both. In fact, we had some calls from clients a couple months ago where they were saying, geez, it seems like the growth funds are doing great, but the value funds are doing lousy. I want to get out of my value funds and into the growth funds. Well, we would try our best to talk folks out of that. And we did our very best and were successful with most in trying to make sure that we maintain that asset allocation. But then there were some that said, I just want to be more aggressive. And aggressive doesn't mean that you're going to be excited when the market goes up, but also understanding when the market goes down. I mean, you have to be realistic with what's going on. These people thought it was great when the stocks, their stock funds were moving up. But when it started to pull back so quickly, they started to panic. And we said, hold on a second. This is going to happen. These stocks aren't going out of business, but they have gone up too fast, too quickly. We need to hold on to our balance between growth and value. In fact, let me give you an example. So on Wednesday, on Tuesday of last week, the market saw the NASDAQ. That's that stock primarily based on technology securities. It dropped almost 4%, 3.85%. That was on average all of those growth stocks. Some dropped, I think Tesla dropped something like 24%. Some dropped 10, some dropped 15, just like that in a single day, just like that dropped. And if you added on the days prior to that, it was adding up to be even worse. But how did value perform during that period of time? Those stocks did not drop nearly as much. You see, there's benefits to owning value and growth, to owning both of those items. It's also important to own both what are called large cap, mid cap, and small cap securities. Believe it or not, the small cap securities, those smaller companies, did better on some of the worst days this past week than did the large cap companies. You see, you got to be invested in a variety of different things. When you're building your portfolio, you can't bet on a strategy. Some people will say, well, Mark, is there a particular sector that you guys like more than another sector? Is there something that gets you more excited about anything else? The answer is no, because you know what? When you're building a portfolio that's going to support your retirement, that's going to build a nest egg for you so that you can draw money out of it and give you an income stream that you need, we need to be rational all the time, not rational when we feel like it. We need to temper the exacerbations that come out of us when markets go wild. In fact, if I look right now, year to date, January 1st to right now, the worst sector you could invest in right now is energy, down 43% on a year-to-date basis. The best place to be? Information technology. Well, information technology would be most of your online services, Amazon, Google, Netflix. So you have a choice. Do you want to invest in energy, which are stocks that oftentimes pay a dividend, in fact? They're the oil companies. The energy companies, are they going to be around? Are we going to need energy moving forward? Of course we are. But these stocks have been really hurt. Information technology has done very well. But will it continue to grow at the same pace it's grown at for the past several years? I think that's a tough thing to kind of support right now. It's going to continue to grow. But do you think new competitors will come out of the woodwork? Or do you think Amazon will just be the Amazon or the monopoly of the world? I've got to believe that there will be some tempering to some of these larger companies. And you're going to see some significant benefits from many other companies. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm suggesting that you buy individual stocks. Because frankly, you and I, no matter how smart we think we might be, and no matter how much information we might pick up from a radio show, from a television show, from reading Barron's or doing our own research on the internet, it pales in comparison to the work that portfolio managers and analysts do on a 24/7 basis, where they're visiting companies, they're understanding who works there, how management works, how the finances work, how the what the competitive landscape looks like. They know what's going on. I'm going to bet on them rather than bet on myself when it comes to buying an individual security. So I'd encourage you to really look at the use of mutual funds, exchange traded funds, index funds as strategies for your portfolio. And it doesn't have to just be stocks. In fact, most of our clients have a portfolio that only has about 60% of their money in stock-based funds and 40% in bond-based funds. In fact, when we get back, we got to take a quick break. When we get back, let's look on the bond side. Let's see what that really means. How do bonds help buttress and secure and add some stability to a portfolio so that you can develop a longer-term strategy that helps you meet your goals and objectives? I call this financial advice in a language you can understand. And when we get back, we've got more to share with you. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey, well, I need a dollar, dollar.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located at 41 Cross Street, just above the soon-to-be-opening Daniela's Restaurant. I think 2020 will be the year that we'd all like to forget, but so many things have, I mean, every day the news changes, the information changes. It's going to continue to be this way. I mean, soon as we start to approach the day when we do have a vaccine or perhaps treatments to help us deal with this coronavirus, we're also dealing with an election. We're dealing with a political landscape that is far from stable. I mean, it is just a mess. I mean, we have become so polarized in our opinions about who we support, who we don't support, what we think of others, what we think of this and that, whether it's social justice issues, racial justice issues, social action issues, climate issues, whatever it might be. We seem to want to argue with everything, and we seem to want to nitpick and be perhaps it's because we've been locked in our house for so long. I mean, whoever thought we'd be working from home like this? I mean, many people continue to work from home. I know businesses are starting to reopen at Friedman Financial. We have reopened our offices Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 9:30 to 4, but we are only meeting with our staff. We're not having clients come into the office just yet, just out of an abundance of caution. We'll continue to talk with our clients via phone, Zoom. In fact, I've gone out for dinner and out for lunch with a few of our clients, but we aren't meeting here in the office because I hate wearing a mask in these indoor spaces, and we all want to be safe. And it's a tough thing to do. So we are going to wear masks whenever it's necessary and where it's required, of course. We're going to wash our hands. We're going to be aware of our surroundings. But we also need to find ways to support our clients, to be there for them. And also, we want to be here for you. And that's why we do Dollars and Cents each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m., where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand. And for those of you that have never worked with a financial advisor before, or perhaps are thinking of working with one, You got to be sure you understand what it is that you expect from a financial advisor, because I can't tell you how many times we have met people or talked to folks recently from the radio station and others where I begin to explain what it is that we do at Friedman Financial. And people say, well, the financial advisor I worked with before never did that. Are you sure that's what you do? Or others will say, oh, you do real financial planning. Well, I didn't know that there was such a thing called fake financial planning. You need to understand something. When it comes to financial planning, the investment component of your life is extraordinarily important, but we have to realize that it is just a piece in the overall pie that I call financial planning. You know, it used to be, when I used to speak around the country, I used to draw this picture that showed a pie plate. And on the pie plate, I would write the word, on the aluminum pie plate, I would write the word investments on the pie plate. And then I'd put in the crust and I'd throw in the filling and put on the topping. We'd imagine if we were baking a pie. And when we pulled it out, we'd take out slices. And one slice would be called college planning. One would be called retirement. One would be called life insurance. One would be called... It was all different types of slices. But the bottom, you had to remember, every time you pulled out a slice, in order to make that slice work, you needed to buy an investment. That's what the problem was with, it still is, with many people who are in this business. They think the only way to work with you to solve a problem is to do it through an investment. And I believe it's just the opposite. An investment is just one part of what you need. You see, I look at the pie plate that we build, and we write on that aluminum pie plate, financial planning. And then we put in the crust, we put in the filling, we put the top of the crust on, we bake the pie. And when we take slices out, one slice has the name investment on it. One slice has the name taxes on it. One slice says estate planning. One slice says how we spend our money. One slice has how we bring money into the house. All of those are important slices and then some. Because if we don't know where everything is and what everything is worth, that means all that you have, money in the bank, money you keep in your underwear drawer, money in an investment account, in a retirement plan, in an annuity, in an insurance policy, in money that you've recently inherited. Perhaps it's in gold or in jewelry or in automobiles or in art or in your house. Those are all assets that you have. Maybe it's a second home. Maybe it's, I don't know, some antique cars that you have. Those are all things that you own that have value. And then we need to understand what are the items that you owe on. Maybe it is a mortgage. Maybe it's a student loan. Maybe it's credit cards, an automobile loan. All of those things are things you owe. So you take out everything that you own. So you subtract out everything you owe. And now you have something that's called your net worth. That is what you're worth. If it's over $1 million, guess what? You're now a millionaire. And you might say to yourself, I don't feel like a millionaire, but you may be. You just may be. Or perhaps it's under $1 million. So what? But at least you understand what you have, what you own, less what you owe. The number one thing you want to see at the bottom is a positive number. If you owe more than what you own, that is problematic. That's when you need credit counseling, when you need debt consolidation, when you need to get your spending in order. So the first thing when you're thinking about financial planning is, do we have what's called a positive net worth? That's number one. Number two, do you have positive cash flow? Positive cash flow means we take a look at all the money that comes into the house. Money that you make through earnings, through work, maybe it's Social Security, maybe it's income you get from your investments, maybe it's gifts you get from mom and dad or grandma and grandpa. That's all part of the flow of money that comes into the house. And then you subtract out everything you spend. If there's money left over, you have something that's called positive cash flow. And when I went to Babson College in 1989, when I graduated there, the slogan there was, happiness is positive cash flow. if you are making more, if you're keeping more than what you spend, you're happy. If you're, if it's costing you more to live than what you're bringing in, you're sad. It's simply that simple. You want to make sure that you're bringing in more than what you're spending. So another part of what we do in financial planning is making sure that you have positive cash flow and a positive net worth. If you have both of those things, now you become a good candidate for a financial planning firm. Now, how do you fit well within a firm like mine, for instance? Well, perhaps in my office, our clients are generally over the age of 50. In fact, many of them are over the age of 60. And they're thinking to themselves, I'm either approaching retirement or I'm in retirement. And what I need to figure out are a number of things. Number one, if I'm approaching retirement, when should I take Social Security? Does it make sense to take it early at full retirement age, or should I delay until age 70? If I'm getting a pension, should I take the life-only pension, the biggest amount that's owed to me, or should I protect my spouse? As I'm approaching age 65, how do I go about applying for Medicare? What's the right choices that I should make? What's the thoughtful approach to handle? And when I understand what my pension, if I'm getting one, and Social Security might look like, I'll know what some of those guaranteed sources of income are going to be to you. And then you say to yourself, well, is that enough to cover my expenses? And if it's not, well, then we need to start looking at a few other things. Number one, what type of investment assets, both personal investment assets and retirement assets, do you own? And how much could we spin off of that investment portfolio to supplement what you're already receiving from pension and Social Security? Is it enough? Can it last? Can we make it stretch until your 100th birthday? I always find it interesting that when I look at some of these financial planning calculators, they put an estimate of your life expectancy being 80 or 85. I will tell you, I see far more people living beyond 85 than I see living under age 85. So for safety's sake, I'm going to assume in our office that you're going to live to 100 years old. And it's very possible you could live even longer. So will the money stretch? Will the money last? How do we incorporate real estate that you might own? Do you own a home? Are you going to stay in that home when you're 90 years old? Do you have a second property? Might you receive an inheritance? Or perhaps maybe you want to do some part-time work. I can't tell you how many people retire and then they realize, oh my goodness, I thought it was going to be fun being retired, but I kind of want to do something. I want to be held accountable somewhere. I want to get up every morning and feel like I have purpose going to work every day. And they don't need to do it for the money. It's just for their own personal satisfaction. That's why they do it. That's why they go back to work. And so as a financial planner in my office, if those are the issues that you're looking at, that's the stuff we're talking to our clients about. We're going to give you advice. We're going to run what-if scenarios that says, what would happen if you did go back to work for, say, 5 years and made $40,000 a year, using that purely as an example? What if I was able to delay my Social Security? What if I sold my house and downsized? What if? And the software that we use, it is so interactive that once we have the baseline stuff in the software, in the program, we can do this and manipulate data in a variety of different ways. And we want to help you do that. I want to help you make smart decisions with your money so that you can fulfill the retirement that you always imagined. Now, I know it's kind of hard to imagine retirement right now. We can't get out and do anything. Look how much I know I want to travel so badly. I want to get out. I want to hop on an airplane. I want to go to Europe. I want to go to the islands. I want to go visit people all around the country, visit friends. But we know we're limited to doing that. Did you know that bookings to travel to Europe, to travel to South Africa, to travel to Japan, to travel to the Far East are actually up for 2021. Nothing's happened in 2020, but the number of reservations that are already in play for 2021 are higher than what they were in 2019. People are itching to travel. So I want to make sure that when the time comes that you're ready and you can do what you want to do, because I know the number one thing that people want to do in retirement is travel. That's what we call financial advice in a language you can understand. We try to provide tidbits of this kind of advice to our listeners and to our subscribers through our free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. If you'd like to be a subscriber, all you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name and your email address, and you'll get subscribed. You'll join the 7,500 other people that get this free weekly newsletter. You're not going to get phone calls from me. I'm not going to bug you to say, hey, you need to come into the office. No, you're not going to get any of that. I just want to provide you financial advice in a language you can understand. We are here for you. Our phone number at the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I promised you in the first segment I was going to talk a little bit about bonds. I got off on a sidetrack here in the second segment. So let's talk a little bit about bonds and how that's working into clients' portfolios. When we get back, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. For more than 50 years, we've been providing individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley with financial advice in a language you can understand. As each of us struggle to find answers in this uncertain environment, we're continuing to communicate with our clients in a variety of ways. Our weekly newsletter, our video town hall, our client teleconferences, and periodic phone calls continue to offer ways to address clients' questions despite remaining physically distant. If you're feeling alone and searching for rational advice during these emotional times, perhaps Friedman Financial can provide the comfort that you need. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice since 1968. So we're at 52 years doing this business. And Dad retired in 2007. I joined the firm in 1991. I was then joined by Marion Gilman. Marion Gilman, I should say, joined our firm back in 2000. She joined us in 2000. And then she became a partner in 2010. And together, we've been providing our clients financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area by doing it through a strategy that we call the fiduciary approach. Our goal is to place your interests first. We are certified financial planners. We have to go through a rigorous study process that we continue to maintain on an ongoing basis. We have to abide by what are called the four E's: education, examination, ethics, and experience. The experience requirement says that we need to be practicing as financial planners for 3 years before we could ever even put the CFP designation after our name. Ethics means we must abide by a code of ethics. And that means that we must always follow the fiduciary standard. Examination means that we must take a comprehensive examination and continue to have continuing education credits. That's the fourth, the education. Education credits on an ongoing basis. Christian Karcher has been on this show recently, and Christian joined us about 3 years ago. Christian recently earned his CFP designation after, I think, he celebrated his fourth year as a certified financial planner. So he earned his designation while working with us. And it's been a delight to have him on the radio with us as well. What we do here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. is to try to provide you with some financial advice in a language you can understand. And in the first segment today, we talked a little bit about the difference between growth investing and value investing. and the dangers that some of our growth investors, or if you are a growth-focused investor, what growth investors saw over the past week is that growth stocks, despite the fact that they can give you some tremendous performance, they can be vicious when they pull back. Value stocks don't necessarily give you as much pain. Their slow and steady wins the race, as they say. You may not get the greatest huge uptick performance from a value stock, but nor will you ever feel the significant downdraft when times get tough. And that's because, think about this, a value stock generally is a stock that is not relying itself on a new and improved product. A bank is a bank. An energy company is an energy company. A telephone company is a telephone company. The product's always going to work. Yes, it might get volatile a little bit in its stock price, but you know it's still always going to be there. What did you think about Kodak? Kodak cameras. Remember you used to go to Disney World and there'd be a Kodak photo spot wherever you went? I mean, who would have ever thought Kodak would ever go out of business? Who would have ever thought General Electric, the company that people thought was a mutual fund all into itself, would have its share of challenges? Now, some companies go through their challenges and come out of it. Some don't do so well. But what we want to try to do is, when we're building portfolios for you, to make sure that your portfolio is structured appropriately, that we're not exposing you to systematic individual risk by owning stocks. But one of the things that we also build into our portfolios is the incorporation of what are called fixed income securities. Fixed income securities, oftentimes referred to as bonds or bond funds. Now, fixed income is something that I remember hearing back in the 70s. People would say, I'm living on a fixed income. People that were living on a fixed income were generally collecting a pension from their previous employer, and they were collecting Social Security, and basically they had nothing else. They had two sources of income, and that was it. They knew what they were going to get, whether it was $2,000 a month or $3,000 a month. That was it. They had to live on that. If they could not support themselves on that, then they went into debt, because their house wasn't worth very much money back then in the 70s. It's hard to believe that many houses that you see that have been around for 50 years or so here on the North Shore, at some point were selling for $29,900 and $39,900. Now you can get them for like $500,000. But that's what they were originally selling at. So if you were living on a fixed income, that's what it really was. You had to budget. You had to manage it. But life has changed. Life has changed. We as individuals have far more flexibility in the way in which we can use money to support our lives. But when it comes time to investing, we still need a component of our portfolio that provides some, if you will, fixed income or some interest-bearing income so that we can have some stability to the portfolio we're building. Now, as many of you know, if you go to the bank these days, interest is something that's less than pitiful. And that's because interest rates are so low. I mean, I'm sure many of you can remember the days in the 80s, I know, when you could get 10 and 12 and 15% on your CDs. But just go back to the 1990s when you could at least get 5% on a money market fund. Don't you wish you could get 5% on anything right now? You can't. Not on anything that's FDIC insured. I love when people will call our office and they'll say, Mark, you know, what do you have that is secure, that provides a decent interest rate, it's guaranteed, and I won't have to worry about losing any money? And the answer is, there's not a heck of a lot that's going to get you excited. Now, if you're willing to stomach a little bit of risk, a little bit of wobbliness, maybe you can get 1% or 2%. If you're willing to manage and handle a little bit more volatility, not like stock volatility, but a little bit of wobbliness, maybe you can get 3 or 4. But trying to get 5, 6, 9, 12%, man, you got to put yourself at risk. So let's talk about what a fixed income security is, or let's just call it a bond. You know that the best way I try to explain this is, if you've ever bought a CD, I want you to imagine a CD as a bond. A CD is something that you buy at the bank. And the bank says, if you give us $10,000, we will pay you interest for a period of time. And when that time expires, we will give you your money back. Right? So if you give me $10,000 on January 1st, and you want to buy a one-year CD that's going to pay 1%, you know that you will get 1% of $10,000. You know how much that is? $100. You will get $100 at the end of the year plus $10,000. Or maybe they'll pay you that $100 out over a few months. Not going to be a heck of a lot of money every month, but let's say you're going to get that $100 plus the $10,000. You get that back. That's guaranteed. That's pretty good. That's as guaranteed as you can find. But let's say you say, you know what? I'd like to get a little bit more. So what you might do is you might think to yourself, well, maybe I want to take a little bit more risk. And I hear that, and I'm using this purely as an example, that the Coca-Cola bottling plant is going to open up a factory in Danvers, and they want to expand that facility. And the way to do that is they want to issue what are called bonds. And they figure it's going to take 5 years to build this facility. And so what they're offering to you is that if you give them $10,000, they'll pay you 3% on your money, and you will get your $10,000 back at the end of the 5 years. They'll pay you 3%, or $300 every year for 5 years, and then at the end, you will get your money back. Now, there's a risk that's imposed there. The risk is, what if Coca-Cola Bottling Company goes out of business and they don't have the money to pay you in 5 years? And you might think to yourself, well, that's a risk I'm willing to take. I don't think Coca-Cola Bottling Company is going anywhere. Well, what if you are now, I'm coming up with another company. Let's say you are Joe's Lemonade. Joe's Lemonade has been just this fantastic lemonade product that's been circulating all over Massachusetts. It's been in Nantucket. It's been on the islands. It's starting to migrate up into Rhode Island, out into Rhode Island and New Hampshire. And Joe's Lemonade says, we want to open a bottling plant in Peabody so that we can manufacture Joe's Lemonade and set up nationwide distribution. But it's going to take us 5 years to build that bottling plant. And Joe's Lemonade says, you know, here in Massachusetts, you love our product. Invest in us. We will be able to pay you better than what the Coca-Cola bottling plant can pay. In fact, we will pay you 8%. We'll pay you 8%. If you give us $10,000, we'll pay you 8% for the next 5 years. Would you jump in and do it? Well, some people might say, oh my God, I love Joe's. It's got to work. It's got to work. They get so excited. 8%. I have to do this. But Joe's Lemonade? Really? What happens if Joe dies? What happens to Joe's Lemonade? And he doesn't make it through the 5 years. You might have got 8% on your money the first year, but that $10,000 investment that you made is gone. You can lose money in bonds. That's possible. But depending upon the amount of risk that you're willing to take explains the type of interest rate that must be paid to justify that risk. So can you go out and get bonds that are paying 5, 6, 8%? Perhaps. But you have to ask yourself, will the company be around when the term of the bond is up? And so many people are trying to figure out, how do we put that together? Do you buy individual bonds? Do you buy a collection of bonds? You have a portfolio, knowing that if one of them defaults, means goes out of business, all of the others are there to hold its base as well. Owning bonds is important, but owning the right bonds is even more important. And here's what we know. We know that interest rates are very low right now. And it doesn't look like interest rates are going up anytime soon. So my guess is that the interest rate that you're likely to get on any bond type investments that you have right now is likely to remain relatively stable. It's likely to remain where it is. You're not going to get much more. However, if interest rates start to go up, the value of your bonds could go down. And that wouldn't be too exciting. However, if interest rates were to go down, the value of your bonds could go up. But what's the likelihood of interest rates going down? I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. I think they're as pretty well as low as they're going to get. But understand that when you're investing in bonds, this is not a strategy where you can say, well, I'm going to invest my money and live off the interest that's coming from these bonds. That is a dangerous strategy and one that you're likely to see cause you to run out of some money. So you want to be sure that the portfolio that you're building, the strategy that you're structuring, is managed properly, is giving you the guidance that aligns with everything else in your financial life, so that you can make the smartest decisions and be prepared to support yourself on an income stream that could bring you well into age 100. That's what we call financial advice in a language you can understand. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to switch gears a little bit, and I'm going to talk a little bit about mortgages. I had a conversation with my daughter this past week. She's thinking about buying a condo, and she wanted to know, how does one figure out how to qualify for a mortgage? And I thought, many people are probably asking the same question. So let's talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above the soon-to-be-reopening Daniela's Restaurant. That's right. It used to be Alto Forno, and now it's going to be Daniela's Restaurant. I'm so excited for it to open. They'll be open for both lunch and dinner, hopefully in October. We're keeping our fingers crossed. I can't wait to start smelling the food cooking again at the restaurant downstairs. At Friedman Financial, our offices are open here in the office Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 9:30 to 4. We are working from home on Mondays and Fridays, of course, from 9:30 to 4 as well. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and you think it's time to talk with somebody, we're here, we're ready, and we're willing to listen. Give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Just leave a message on the voicemail. Jody will get back to you, my assistant, and we will schedule some time to talk with you. If you'd like to schedule an initial consultation, there is no cost for us to schedule a free initial consultation. We can do it via Zoom, technology, of course. We can do it over the phone. We can certainly chat for a little bit. If you just want to ask some questions, I'd love to talk with you. I've been taking many, many calls from so many listeners here at the station, and we'd love to continue to do that. This is our eighth year providing financial advice in a language you can understand to listeners of North Shore 104.9. But Friedman Financial has been around a lot longer than that, starting back in 1968 when my father opened up this firm. He retired in 2007, and I joined him in 1991. That's when I took over the ownership of the firm. And Marion Gilman, who you've heard here on the radio, joined me in 2000, and we made her a partner in 2010. So many of you I know have met with Marion or talked with Marion. We have a third certified financial planner here in the office. His name is Christian Karcher. Christian's on vacation this week, but he has been an invaluable part of our collective office here as well, where he is really building out many of the financial planning analyses, many of the what-if scenarios, and really helping us think through a lot of strategies that are helping our clients achieve the retirement goals that they've wanted to reach. But when I last left you, I told you that I wanted to talk a little bit about mortgages. my daughter, Mindy, who's 24 years old, reached out this past week and said, Dad, you know, I've been renting for a couple months in Boston. I've got a good job. And I'm thinking, maybe I should get a condo. And she didn't know the first thing about applying for a mortgage. She didn't know what rates were, how to even go about buying a house. I mean, why would she? She's 24 years old. But I will tell you, with interest rates hovering in the 2.5% to 3%, an unheard of rate, does it make sense to start looking at property? And so we're beginning to have the conversation. So what I thought I would do is kind of walk you through the exercise that I go through with her or with anybody who says, how do I qualify for a mortgage? You know, people say, I need that pre-qualification letter. Well, I'll help you pre-qualify yourself just by giving you a few tips. It's not that secretive. However, it's not as liberal as it used to be. Back in 2006, 2007, 2008, lenders were letting people borrow money at extraordinary amounts, and getting themselves in a lot of trouble. Lenders have become a lot more conservative. So I don't want you to be surprised at how much they're willing to lend, but I think you'll be surprised at how far your money can go because interest rates are so low. So let's use this as an example. Let's assume you make $100,000 a year. Generally, the rule of thumb is you want to have all of your debt payments less than 30% of your gross income. So let's assume for argument's sake right now that you have no debts. I mean, if you have a credit card bill, if you're paying it off every month, that's not a debt. So I'm going to assume you don't have student loans, no car payments, no nothing. Let's just go with nothing, okay? 30% of $100,000 is $30,000. You divide that by 12, and that's roughly $2,500. So $2,500 is probably the most amount of money that a bank is going to say you can afford to spend on a mortgage. And that $2,400 usually needs to also include taxes, property taxes, and interest. So let's assume that property taxes are going to run $5,000 on the property that you're going to run, $5,000 a year, and that homeowners insurance will be $1,000 a year. So that's $6,000. So that comes out to $500 a month, right? $6,000 divided by 12, that's $500. And I said you could afford to spend $2,500. So if $2,500 was the amount of money that you could afford to spend, $2,500 was the amount that you could afford to spend, and that would leave you with $2,000 to pay the principal and interest, how much of a mortgage would you be eligible for? And based upon a rate of 2.75% on a 30-year mortgage, the number comes close to $500,000. What? $500,000? Yes, that's right. It actually comes out to $489,906. $2,000 a month would allow you to get a $400,000 mortgage. Now, understand something. A $500,000 mortgage. That doesn't necessarily mean that you should go out and buy a $500,000 home, because nobody is going to want to lend you 100% of what you want to buy. You need to put money down. And I would strongly encourage you to do your very best to put down 20% of your purchase. Well, if you were looking for a home that's worth $500,000, that's a $100,000 down payment. Because if you don't put down 20%, you're going to have to pay something that's called PMI insurance, primary mortgage insurance, and that's going to add additional costs. So the general rule of thumb, like I said, is to look at 30% of your gross income. 30% of your gross income. So I was using the example of $100,000. That's $30,000 or $2,500 a month. If your total costs for taxes and insurance are going to be $500, that leaves you with $2,000 a month. And $2,000 a month allows you to say you could be eligible for up to a $500,000 mortgage. But remember, we talked about this example with someone that doesn't have any other debts. Now let's also say that you got a $500 monthly auto payment and you pay $500 in student loans. Well, if you pay $500 in student loans and $500 a month in credit card bills, that leaves you only with $1,000. And $1,000 remaining for a monthly payment allows you to still borrow $244,000. So the numbers that you can borrow are pretty significant, actually, because the interest rates are so low. Now, the question is how long can you sustain and continue to pay that mortgage payment? Is your job stable? Will you be able to continue to make that payment? And remember this, with interest rates being as low as they are, the value of homes these days has gone up because people can get more money because you can borrow more money to buy a house. Perhaps 10 years from now, when you want to sell your house, interest rates might not be at 2.75%. Maybe they're back up around 5%. And so let me give you an example. Let's say you wanted to make a $2,000 monthly payment and you said at 2.75%, a $2,000 monthly payment allows me to get a mortgage of almost $500,000. But if interest rates change to 5%, you can no longer get a $500,000 mortgage. You can only get one worth $370,000. So understand the dynamics of what would happen. If you bought a house and you really stretched yourself to really stretch all that you can afford, and 10 years from now you need to sell your home, and you want to sell your home for more than what you paid for it, but the interest rate environment is now at 5% rather than 2.75%, someone might not be willing to pay what you paid for it because they simply can't afford that kind of a price because houses are going to cost more money from a mortgage standpoint. So I want you to be careful. I want you to be thoughtful. I want you to recognize what it is that you can afford and never let yourself be in a situation where you're putting yourself in a situation where you're paying more than 30% of your gross income on all collective debt payments. That means mortgage, car loan, credit card, student loan, all of those things. You want to be very careful. You want to be very careful. In fact, I'm encouraging my daughter, Mindy, to try to keep all of her expenses to 20%, to 20% of her gross pay. Now, I'd rather start there and let her move up to 21 or 22% than start at 30 and she say, well, maybe we could squeeze 30 or 31 or 32 or even 35. That's when it gets disappointing because you say, oh, I want to spend 35% of my gross income. But unfortunately, what ends up happening, the bank won't lend you the money. So you got to be careful. That's what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. It's the end of the day of my show, I should say, and we'll be back again next Sunday. I want to wish you all a very happy and safe Sunday. Keep your masks on, wash your hands, watch your surroundings. We're going to get through this pandemic, and I wish you all a very happy and successful day. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you.
Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.